Hallelujah. You know, today is the last day of our revival series. It's not the last day of the revival in your heart, that's for sure, because it continues on, right? Did you know, this is just something that I remembered yesterday from the webcast, this is something Pastor Jenny showed me in some notes that we had from a different webcast, and it says that offenses will stop revival. Mm-hmm. And they'll stop the supernatural. They'll stop God's flow in your life. You know, if you are offended or you get offended, and I tell you what, that's not in my notes here, but it's something that the enemy uses constantly in the church, in our lives today, to get hurt, and then we leave, or we get bitter, or we have a down look on something, right? You know what I'm saying? Am I speaking truth here? I mean, seriously. So that's what I'm saying. Guard your heart from offenses, okay? This is like the mama talking, but because it's so easy for us to get hurt. Oh my goodness, someone can look at me cross-eyed and I'd be going, oh, they hate me. I'm like, would you get over yourself, Chris? You know? Seriously. Yeah. And then the enemy will come in and will try to wreck what happened here, and he's not going to do it. All right? Or the things that maybe you're going through and the decisions that you're making in your life. Don't let the enemy take away what God has given you during this time and beyond. All right? All right. Well, today is the last day, and this message is called Revival of Our Future. And it kind of sounds weird, doesn't it? Because how can you have revival of your future when we haven't even lived it yet, right? We haven't even experienced it yet. But what we do today affects our tomorrow. It affects our future. How we look at things today, how we function, how we're going to respond even to this revival is because, oh, you know, it's just my church services. They just got all hyper and emotional and here we are. No. Well, you know, some people might. So, but that's not what happened. You know, we went through this. Who would have thought that our revival would continue on? It was just going to be a revival conference for just a few days. And then it went and it flowed on into the following week, you know, and our guest speaker, Pastor Obi, had to go on to Pittsburgh. But I tell you what, the flavor of that and what God has done in our hearts remains. Amen. And we are forever changed. Amen. And we are going to continue to be lovers of our Lord, right?
That's right.
And to seek His face. And to love on Him. And to bring other people in. Right? Because we want them to experience freedom. We want them to experience the goodness of God. And I really want us to be... it's just amazing how God kind of rolled all of these messages together. Now, I don't know if you know this, but these messages are from my book. My newest book, Revive, Rebuild, and Restore. And Revival of Our Future just kind of like closes it all together. In that... we talked about our past, we talked about our heart and our spirit, and we talked about relationships, revival of all of these wonderful things. Now God wants to say, now look, what you're doing today, the things that are going on today or even yesterday are going to affect tomorrow, right? Yeah. It's like when we went to go to our property and believing for that building that God wants, we went there and we marched around that building because we know tomorrow needs that building for Hope Fellowship, right?
That's right.
So we went there. And we marched around faith, believing that God was doing exactly what we were believing. Claiming that building for us. Yeah. And claiming the city for God.
Amen.
Right? Claiming that building for God. It's just amazing because as soon as you start looking at that, all of a sudden the dreams start opening up. You know how many times I've heard people say, you know what we can do? And then this? And then have this? That's what happens when the vision's bigger than you. And then you just start getting excited and more excited, right?
That's right.
Amen.
My youngest daughter's ready to just totally be the interior decorator of that place. And you know, and we want to be able to put different apartments in there, reaching out to the homeless, and just all these kind of things. That's really our heart. And so we're going to get that building, and then God will provide everything. It was awesome to hear some of the testimonies in the webcast yesterday because... that was there was a man on there that was talking about how they acquired their $30 million building, and how it was who owned it beforehand and how God just totally changed their whole organization and just kind of downsized it. You know, did a Gideon revival, which means Gideon had all these men and then God says, no, and then all of a sudden you're left with so many. So that's a Gideon revival. Okay, but in this case, in their situation, it was a good thing because then they couldn't function, they couldn't keep the building because God had that building for this man of God and their church because they were exploding and needing a bigger building.
Right.
You know,
the building is part of the occult.
Yes, and a part of the occult and everything else. So, all of that said, we want to have revival in our future with our building. We want to have revival in our future for what God is doing at Hope Fellowship, right?
That's right.
And so what we do today affects our future. And how you handle your life today, okay, with your emotions, your reactions, your lack of reactions, how we handle our relationships, you know, how are you handling it? Are you being careful with your relationships? Or are you abusing somebody? I mean, seriously, that really are things that you have to look at. Your attitudes. What's your attitudes towards things? I heard Joyce Meyer say, don't dread something. If you have to go do something, don't dread it. Just know that God's going to help you through it. It's like after service, we've got to tear everything down. I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't want to dread that because it's a lot. But I know that you're going to just... Many hands make light work, and we're just going to get it in the vehicles and bring it home, and it's going to be all okay. But don't dread things you have to do, because it is a part of our life. You know, how are you reacting today with things? What are you saying out of your mouth about yourself? And this is a thought here, is that if you keep carrying dead thoughts of your life or how you perceive yourself, you will be carrying those images into your future. Is that truth?
Amen.
Yeah.
True.
So, how I feel about myself right now, especially if it's not godly, seriously. I mean, if it's godly, great, let's carry it into our future. But if you have something about yourself or about others or about your family or about your job or circumstances, whatever, and you have these thoughts and these attitudes are negative, and then you're bringing that into your next day and into your next day and into your next day, it will affect your future. Okay? So take a little inventory of how you think, how you feel about yourself. All right? It will become who you are. And I am determined. I want to plant good seeds now so that in the future I will be harvesting a good crop.
That's right.
Okay, I want to say that again. I am determined to plant good seeds now so that in the future I will harvest a good crop. Right? Because no matter what you say, you will harvest a crop of whatever you plant today. So what are you planting? What are you saying? How are you reacting? Are you moving on in God? Are you moving on and helping relationships to grow? I want to plant good seeds so I have a harvest of a wonderful crop when time comes. Imagine carrying a dead corpse with you everywhere you go. Because that's what happens when we carry these negative thoughts with us. Remember, dead corpse smell terrible. This isn't like a fun thing to talk about, but this is about as close as I'm going to get to talking about Halloween or anything. But it's like dead corpse are stinky. If someone dies, if an animal dies, they will rot. And the flies come, and it gets infested with flies or whatever. It's yuck, right? Okay. And this is what happens when we carry our dead thoughts into our future. I'm determined to give you a visual of how these thoughts can totally ruin our harvest and give us a harvest that we don't want. People see and smell our stench, and like insects invading a dead carcass, the enemy comes and suffocates us with his lies. The enemy will come and suffocate us with his schemes. And it brings even more decay and decomposing in our lives because we're carrying this dead corpse. And we will end up settling for so much less than what we were created for. Do you believe God has a destiny for your life?
Amen. Yes.
Do you believe that God has a destiny for your life?
Yes.
Amen. A promised land. You know, you just weren't created by chance. You know, by the big explosion theory or whatever. The Big Bang. Or evolved from apes. No way. That's not what my cradle looks like, right? I believe that we were evolved in His, or made in His image for a purpose and a destiny for each one of us.
Amen.
All right? We have a purpose. It's just like when someone invents something. They have a reason to invent whatever they're inventing to help them in a certain... Who invented the dishwasher? I am so thankful. I mean, seriously. Come on. Okay?
I would know.
Well, I'm just saying. You know? Who invented this projector that can project our things, right? It was a need, and it was a purpose for that. Well, that's the same thing for our life, okay? Don't allow your past or present mistakes to infest your future. Don't allow your past or present mistakes to infest your future. You know what? That's just a simple little thing. If you really have made some mistakes just and you haven't asked forgiveness, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I won't do it again. I want to please you. Help me. Give me wisdom to make a better decision, a better choice next time. How many believe God can do that?
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Not only can people see and smell our stench for carrying this junk. Remember what I said, what comes out of your mouth? Right? When you're talking to somebody, what's the first things that start coming out of your mouth? Okay, check and see. Is it negative or is it encouraging? But people can smell our stench. We're carrying something that will never benefit us if we're carrying dead corpse. Dead things have no life. Dead words have no life. In other words, I'm saying, if I'm like talking about my future, if we say stuff about the building and then if I get totally consumed with this whole big endeavor and start speaking that out, and I tell you, it's a struggle sometimes, right? So we just have to say, Lord, I cover it with the blood. And Lord, help me just to focus on you and all of this. We can talk about death, about what's happened in our past, and constantly bring it into our present and our future. You know, the past is the past.
Right.
What happened to you is past. Don't take it and be it's your comfort zone, all right? Because God has something better for you, especially if it's something that puts you in bondage all the time. So let it go. There's no advantage of bringing your past into your future. None. Because that's it. The past is just that. The past. Can someone shut that door? It is passed away and you will never be able to relive that moment again. If you are constantly thinking about your past, it would be like sitting on the ground. Listen, if you're constantly thinking about your past or what's been done to you, it's like sitting on the ground next to that dead body, that dead corpse. It's just sitting right there and you're choosing to sit right there. It doesn't speak to you. Doesn't benefit you. It's dead. It's cold, stinky, laying there. It doesn't help you. It just reminds you of your fatal mistakes. Fatal mistakes. Dead corpse. Right? But don't misunderstand me. We can learn from our past, can't we? And just like we can learn from our an autopsy of a body, you know, how did this person die? What happened? What led up to it? Was there something that was put into their system? Whatever. You can do an autopsy on a person, on a corpse, I should say, and find out a lot of information. But then once you do an autopsy, do you still carry that dead body around? No. You go and you bury the body in the ground. But what do we do in our lives is that we think about our past and we dwell on our past and we keep doing this autopsy on our past. We've learned from it, maybe, maybe not, because it depends on how we say it out of our mouth. And then we keep carrying this dead corpse with it. You know, and it's like we're carrying this thing. And then it's like, did you see this? I want you to see this. You know, you're pulling this thing. Oh, see it. That's what happened to me. This right here. And then the person's going, well, the natural person's saying, that thing should be buried, right? You should never be carrying something like that around you. You don't see that in real life. You would think something's wrong with that person if you saw it in real life. So let's do that in our own personal lives, our emotional lives. Let's get rid of those dead corpses that we so insistent on carrying with us. We discard the body and we bury it once and for all. Trying to take something dead into our future will only bring frustration and magnify the lifeless carcass. Okay, so this is the thing that we do. We just go, okay, Lord, those things were in my past. It actually has, if God's come and healed some of that, it's made you who you are today and a stronger person probably. But even then, it's like, okay, it's done. Can't change it, right?
That's right.
Right. Here's an example. And I'm not trying to point any fingers, but it's like, let's say I got pregnant outside of wedlock, right? I can't change it. It's done. Okay, so then there's no reason to just hound myself over that. Sometimes we do that to people, though. Let it go. Because now you have this brand new life. And it's done. You can't change it. Right? So then you just love the new life. And you move on. And God forgives. You know? Doesn't he? He does. Psalms 42:2 says this. It says, I thirst for God, for the living God. We can't, a dead corpse can't thirst, can it? Has no life to it. We can. This verse expresses David's thirst for God. He was young, he was strong, yet he knew only God could satisfy him. He spent so much time in God's presence, playing his harp, tending the sheep, learning more about him. And actually, it was the normal things of life for him. And he wrote this, I thirst for God, for the living God. The man who was after God's own heart. The man who, to me, he was constantly seeking and loving Jesus, or loving God. Jesus wasn't there yet. Well, he was, but you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Spiritual thirst is as natural as physical thirst. You ever just been, you know, so parched in the natural, you're just waiting to receive something to drink? Well, in the spiritual, you ever been so thirsty for God? It's like, I just want to run up to him. You're just compelled to go in your secret place. You're just compelled to go into a worship time with him. You're just compelled to go and talk to him. You ever been like that? And nothing will satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is to actually do it. Period. And then you're satisfied, but then you're thirsty again. Just like being hungry for God. Now, you know, we're talking about revival. We're talking about, and God has been moving and touching us, okay? I think there's churches, there's people that want revival, but the people in the church seem to think that revival will just like suddenly appear and affect them. I'll just wait and see what happens here. You know. If it happens, it happens. I don't know if it's going to happen. They keep talking about it to happen. I think it's all a bunch of hype anyway. Yeah, I'm just gonna wait and see. Yeah. Or there are other people who go, yeah, I want revival to happen. But they just aren't willing to put forth any effort to see it to come to fruition. This is not how revival works. Revival happens by us doing our part. Being hungry for God, right? Mm-hmm. We have to eagerly pursue God. We need to develop that hunger for God and his presence on a regular basis. We have to be thirsty for the living God. And the Bible says that if we are thirsty, we should come by and eat. Now that's going to sound funny, but we're going to look at that verse here. But what it costs us is our action and our will. If you want revival, if you want God to come in and just pour his presence, you need to draw close to him. He draws close to you, right? He's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on us. Okay? And so we need to come by, and I'm saying B-U-Y, and eat. What it costs us is our action and will. What it costs is giving up our control and allowing God to have his way. And this is what I'm talking about. So In Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, it says, out of the Amplified, wait and listen. Other translations say, hold, all those that are thirsty. But it says, wait and listen. Everyone who are thirsty, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for what, for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that that does not satisfy? Because we sure can pour our money into other things. Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, or the profuseness of spiritual joy. Have you had some profuseness of spiritual joy this week? Incline your ears, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me. Hear, and your soul will live, and or will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you. Even the sure mercy, kindness, goodness, or goodwill and compassion promised to David. So this whole verse is telling you, if you are thirsty, come to the living water. You won't be denied. And God says, I will come and I will revive you. I'll pour my spirit out on you. You will have mercy on you. You will have grace and kindness on you. I can't imagine not wanting to do that. Seriously. Yeah. Everybody wants all that stuff, right?
Seems like it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. So I was traveling in 1993 and 94 to churches all over the Pacific Northwest area of the United States and ministering in different events like, you know, conferences or camps or churches and that type of thing. And everywhere I went, I saw complacency. It's like people were lethargic in church. Okay? And they would come in, and I'd go in and minister. And that was really the theme of my heart during those years, is to pull people out of complacency and to get them on fire for God. I guess that still is now, too. So, and it broke my heart, and I felt I was experiencing just a touch of what God was feeling. And so during that time, I wrote a song based off of this passage of Scripture, not out of the Amplified version of what we're seeing this morning, but out of the NIV. And the very first time I sang that song, a young man, I was doing a youth service, and I was talking about complacency, and I was talking about how hungry and thirsty I was for God. And then I sang this song, and I want to sing it here in a minute. And it started with one young man. And I started playing, and he just ran to the altars in this parched land, this parched church that I was at. And he just started weeping at the altars. God, I want you. I love you. I need you. Pour yourself into me. And then more people started coming, and more people started coming. You know, it's not a hype thing. It's how much do you want God? How hungry, how much do you love him? What has he done in your life? Could you live without him?
No.
No. Nor do I ever want to try to live without him. So I want to sing that song. It took me a while to find the words, because it's not one that I recorded on any of my CDs. And normally, Sister Jenny, I need your help. Tangled and bring it around to the other side. Normally, I don't do any, maybe with Hannah, but I just really feel like the Lord wants this to be sung, so I had to resurrect the song. And Tori helped me find some words to it at home. But I want all I can get in God. I'm the one that can stop the flow. I'm the one that can put that twist in the hose and not get the living water. Just by my attitude, just by saying, you know, I'm really tired. Well, trust me, I'm tired. This has been a long 10 days, but it's been wonderful.
Amen.
All right?
Amen. It's a good exhaustion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, So I don't know what line you're on here. Let's see if we can get my guitar to turn up. Tori, can you come over?